Are you growing in your faith? Do you feel like you're still in spiritual kindergarten? Or do you feel like you're moving on? I mean, just it was a challenge to me just to kind of even think about that this week. You know, are there things in my life, are there situations, am I putting myself into environments where I'm being encouraged to grow and to learn and to move forward? Or am I still just kind of really comfortable with where I'm at? You know, I've got the same old thing, same old routine. I feel good about where I'm at with God. There's nothing to push me out of my feeling like I'm comfortable, you know, that old comfort zone that we talk about. Are you growing spiritually? Are you in a place where God is challenging you? That's really what that video is all about. And we're going to talk about that this morning. And so I'm going to ask that you join with me in a word of prayer and ask for God to teach us something. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you give us the opportunity not just to know you, not just to come in relationship with you, but to grow in that relationship, to move forward, to meet new challenges. And yeah, that can be scary. That can be unsettling. It means doing something that we're not completely comfortable with. But Lord, you use those types of experiences to really stretch us, to make us into the men and women that you want us to be. And as we look to your word for some guidance on how we can be responsive and obedient to you and to follow up and to be more than just kindergarten Christians, Lord, I pray that you would inspire and challenge and teach us this morning. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So what did the very first Christians, okay, you want to talk about starting at ground zero. What did the first Christians do to try to meet this challenge of growing in their faith? You have a situation in the early part of the book of Acts, right? Jesus has ascended into heaven, you know, but he's left his apostles and the disciples in charge of establishing the church. And slowly they're starting to see some new people come in. And then they have this one big explosion of 3,000 in one day, where they're added to the church as a result of Peter preaching a sermon. And suddenly they're caught with this fact, okay, how do we help these new Christians, these men and women, how do we help them to grow? What do we do as leaders and as those that Jesus has left responsible for his church? How do we go about this? And here's what, at the end of Acts chapter 2, here's just a kind of a brief picture into what they did to try to help to create an environment for growth for these men and women who were now following Jesus. It says that all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. These kind of real basic, getting back to the basics, you know, these basic things as far as what it means to be in relationship with God, devoting themselves to teaching, to learning, to fellowship, interaction with one another, to sharing in meals, having that sense of I'm doing life with somebody else. I'm not just on my own. And we talked about that last week for those of you who are here, the fact that we really do need one another. We need relationships with one another. That's how God has designed us to live and to be. And then finally to this idea of prayer, the discipline of prayer, and involving God in every aspect of our lives. We kind of try to do the same thing here, don't we, today? I mean, we're living about 2,000 years later, but the church still is hopefully trying to be committed to these basic concepts. And one of the greatest places, one of the as far as what we do here at Two Rivers Church and trying to make these principles a part of what we're trying to do and how we feel God is leading us as we're trying to continue to build his church and allow him to build it through our efforts, is we have these things that we call home groups. Have you ever heard about home groups? They're, you know, when we have bulletins, they're on the backside at the top. You know, every week there's a listing of these are the home groups that meet. Here are the names of people that you can contact if you'd like to be part of a group. I bring it up because out of what we talked about last week and this idea of that we need one another and we need relationships, I just feel like as we're starting to hear in September, as our home groups are kind of kicking off again, you know, many of the groups have taken the summer off and we're kind of starting a new season of home groups. It kind of feels like going back to school in some respects. You know, we've had summer break and now we're getting ready for the fall semester of school. And my challenge really, I think, is that if you've never been a part of a home group, maybe to consider this fall, I want to join a home group. And I wanted to, and I know that that sounds, if you've never been part of a small group of experience, that can sound really scary. It can be intimidating. There may be concerns. You may have questions as far as what is that really going to look like? What's going to happen? What is a home group? And I wanted just this morning to talk about home groups in the midst of talking about this larger idea of building relationships and how much we need one another, and to say, one of the best places to do that here at Two Rivers, or to begin to experience what that looks like, is in home groups. Home groups are not the end all right? You're not going to get absolutely everything that you need in terms of relationships and going forward, okay? I would never want to promise that. But a home group experience can be a beginning place to be able to make some spiritual friends, to have a chance to interact with one another. And we're going to talk about that this morning, okay? So, as part of that experience, I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about that idea of, well, before we talk about what home groups are, maybe we should try to dispel some of the concepts, or I don't want to call them myths, but maybe some of the fears that you might have if you've never been to a small group or a home group type experience, of what you maybe would think. You know, I would hope that I, you know, what are they trying to pull me into? Or what, you know, what are they going to make me do when I'm there? You know, are they going to make me, you know, this and that? And so I found, and it'll take me just a second to switch it over and everything else. I found a great video that illustrates what you, hopefully, will not experience at a Two Rivers Church home group, okay? All right? So let me get this going for you. Give me just a second. I was having a little problem with my computer today, and this was going, it was working, but it was real choppy. So I'm going to play it straight out of this way, all right? And this is, you know, entitled The Over-the-Top Small Group. See if any of these kind of resonate with any concerns or fears that you might have about being involved in a home group. Yeah, all right, some good ideas, all right. Maybe not. So what is a home group really do? What does it look like, okay? If that's hopefully not what you're going to experience, what will you experience apart from being a home group? There are three elements that we talk about in home groups, and they're based on that passage that we were looking at in Acts 2:42. And the basic elements that the early church kind of focused in on. The first is fellowship, which we call enjoying. It's this idea of enjoying one another. Fellowship is kind of a big Christian word, and I'll give you even a bigger, you know, biblical Christian word. It's based on this Greek word, koinonia, right? Koinonia, let me read through the continuation of Acts 2, to kind of give you a sense of a little bit more of how they experience this idea of fellowship or koinonia, all right? It says that all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. This fancy word koinonia, if you want to break it down, it kind of means the word that we heard over and over again in that last passage. And that is this idea of sharing or having in common. It's and, you know, for those of us who have put our faith in the Jesus and say, I want to be a follower of him, we at least have that as a beginning point, you know, of in common, that we are together trying to learn and discern and encourage one another in this adventure of what it means to follow God and what it means to obey him and what it means to be in relationship with him and have that be a part of our everyday lives. But it doesn't come naturally, and there just needs to be time and interaction with other believers in order to be able to get to that point of encouraging each other. And we really want a home group to have that sense of enjoyment, that sense of fun, of coming together and not getting serious from the very beginning. You know, it's not like, you know, okay, 7 o'clock rolls around, we sit anybody in their assigned seats and we open up our Bibles and we, you know, turn to page 36 and we, you know, begin. But we begin by just talking to one another. How has your week been? What's going on in your life? You know, and finding these threads of commonness with one another and providing a sense of relationship, of friendship that can build, that God can use to build us up in our relationship with him, right? And this is really a spiritual time. I mean, this is not just a social time. If all that happened within a home group was just socializing, yeah, it probably wouldn't be all that it would, that it could be. But if it misses out on that social aspect, I think we're missing a big part of what it means to be a follower of God and to be a part of his family and the family that he's provided for us and the opportunity that we have to interact with one another. So the first thing that you'll find in a home group is you'll find a sense of fellowship or enjoying this relationship that we have with one another. And that's what it's talking about in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, this passage that talks about spiritual friendships. Let me just read it to you. It says, two people are better off than one, for they can help support each other or help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer, and three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. God honors friendship. I mean, just the simple act of friendship. And that's one of the things that we want to help to provide in the environment of home groups is a place maybe where you can start building, if you don't already have spiritual friendships, where maybe you can start to develop some of that. And that's why we encourage this idea of fellowship as part of a home group. All right? The second thing that we have as an element of home groups is this idea of prayer and sharing, where we kind of encourage each other in the things of life. And there are a couple of different aspects of this that really the Bible talks about when it's trying to encourage us to be in those types of relationships and to have that kind of sense of togetherness and sharing our prayers with one another. First and foremost, it's a time of worship. It really is. In Psalm 34, it says, come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let's exalt his name together. You know, if we never take time to share with anybody else, these are the things that God is doing in my life. These are the ways that he's answering prayer. Wow, we're missing out on a great opportunity to encourage and challenge another person to say, here's what God's doing in my life. Let's praise him together for the ways that he is answering prayer. Just like when we were, a few minutes ago talking about Bonnie Clausen's situation. And we could say, you know, bad situation, but God is at work in it. He's answering our prayers. I mean, that's encouraging. That's a part of what it means to pray. Not just to pray for requests, but there's this idea of sharing, you know, the ways in which God's answering our prayers and encouraging one another in that. But there also is this element of just saying, you know what? I need somebody to pray for me. I don't want to feel like I'm out there on my own. I don't want to feel like I'm the only one dealing with this situation. God has given us one another so that we can be there for each other. And when there are times of requests, that we've got somebody that we can turn to and say, can you pray for me? That's what the Apostle Paul was talking about in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 18. He said, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere, and pray for me too. At my home group this last semester, I one Thursday evening, I came in and I was feeling a bit down and just discouraged about a situation that a good friend of mine was dealing with. And people could notice, you know, I think sense a little bit of something was happening. And when we got to time of sharing, I just kind of said, here's a situation. My friend, his son is dealing with this. And it was just amazing as people came around and these friends of mine that are part of my home group, they just said, let's pray for him. As a matter of fact, let's put a chair in the middle of the circle and like pray as if he were sitting there. And let's pray for this young teenager and the situation that he's dealing with. And God answered those prayers. I mean, things aren't 100% better. I mean, it's not completely turned around in his life, but he's doing so much better. And I know God honored the prayers of my friends that were a part of my home group. And the question I have is just simply, if you're not part of a home group, do you have somebody that you can go to and share your request with and to say, you know, pray for me? Not just for the world and not just for these nameless strangers. It's important for us to be praying for the entire body of Christ, but pray for me too. Because I need it. We all need that. We need those people in our lives. And that's one of the things that hopefully a home group can provide for you. The third element of a home group is this idea of studying together, which is another big word, but they all have to begin with E, right? You know? So you got to come up with something, right? You got enjoying and encouraging. So you come up with exhorting, right? Okay? And exhorting just kind of means, you know, as we're looking into God's word, we're challenging one another to be obedient to the things that we're reading. And we're being obedient to say, do we really believe that these things are true? And helping to encourage and challenge one another to take God at his word, to literally take God at his word. The power of the Bible, of Scripture, is just amazing. And the privilege that we have to come together and to study that together, to read it and to look more deeply and to talk about the ways that it impacts our lives and how we can apply it specifically and practically is just, it's beyond measure. It's something that we should treasure. Because as 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is inspired by God. It's useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong, and it teaches us to do what's right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. That's the purpose. That's one of the biggest reasons why God gave us the Bible. So that we can be prepared and equipped to do every good work. So that our lives might look different because of the power of God's word. How does it do that? Well, this passage talks about four different ways that Scripture equips us. And hopefully these are the four things that are coming out of our study time in our home group together. It teaches us what's true. In other words, it's encouraging us to have this sense of right thinking. To believe the right things, to know the right things are true. God will never leave you or forsake you, Scripture says. We need to be reminded of that time and time again, because our thinking needs to have that be put in. They need to have that good input, right? You know, to be reminded, God loves me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He is always there for me. I need to be reminded of that and so many other things. The second way that it equips us is by correcting us. In other words, exposing wrong ways of thinking. You know, when it says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, when Paul writing to the Romans, we can say, oh, you know what? I've been walking around and I've been living my life this week as if I were nothing but guilty and just feeling bad about myself and about what I've done. I've forgotten that God has forgiven me of that already, that there's no condemnation anymore. I need to be, you know, this wrong way of thinking that just slips in every once in a while. God's word helps us to find and to identify those things and to hopefully help us get rid of those. And we need that on a consistent basis. And again, that's one of the reasons why we provide this idea of home groups on a weekly basis, because we all need those weekly reminders, those regular reminders, not only of what are the right ways of thinking, but how can we correct the wrong ways of thinking as well and get rid of, you know, those untruths, those lies that Satan tries to tell us. The third way that it equips us is it teaches us to do what's right. It's not enough just to have kind of this mental aspect. That's the beginning point. But to begin to start applying it and trying to do and obey and live the way God designed us to live. And that's one of the most amazing things that Scripture does. So when it says pray without ceasing, God's not giving us that command because he wants to control us, because he wants us, our lives, to be miserable, because he wants us to feel, you know, a sense of guilt or anything. He gives us that command because when we are obedient to it, we're living life the way we were meant to live it. And so when Scripture tells us these right ways of behaving, it's for our own good. And that's the wonderful gift that Scripture does. And then the fourth way that it equips us is it helps us to realize what's wrong in our behavior, the things that we're doing wrong. You know, you can almost go through the Ten Commandments, right? You know, don't lie, don't steal, don't, you know, dishonor your parents, all of these different things. And there are so many other ways, because these things that come naturally to us, unfortunately, need to be corrected. And they need to be replaced with the right ways of living that God has designed us to have and to experience in life. So as we come together in home groups, we've got these three amazing opportunities to have fellowship with one another, to pray and share our lives with one another, and to study God's word together and to challenge one another, to take him at his word, and to that hopefully it'll make a difference in the quality of our lives. That's why we've got home groups. What happens here on Sunday mornings is great. It's fantastic. But you know, you can walk in and you can sit and listen and you can sing and you can walk away. And at no time will you have shared exactly what it is that's really going on in your life. The fears that you've got, the joys that you've got, the challenges that you're facing at school or at work, the struggles that you're dealing with at home or in a situation. Do you have someone that you're sharing your life with? And again, not that home group is the end all and everything is going to be all, you know, roses and everything else is, you know, if you be part of a home group. But we want to try to create at least a beginning place where you can start building some spiritual friendships. And goodness knows we all need that. And that's why we've got home groups. And so next week, when you come in and you take a look at the bulletin and you look at the back and you see these are the home groups that are going to be starting up here in the month of September, we want you to think about being a part of one of those groups. And as a matter of fact, starting next Sunday, we're going to have actual sign-up sheets available. We're gonna say, okay, everybody is at ground zero, okay? At this point, nobody is part of a group. Everybody needs to join a group. And then we'll have those sheets available for the next couple of weeks so that we can pass that information on to the home group leaders so that you can be in contact with them, because we want to make it as easy as possible for you to be a part of a home group. And to help give you directions and the timing and everything else that's going to be a part of it. But the biggest thing is the question: if you've never been a part of that experience, maybe this is what God is saying is necessary for you to take that next step, to move out of your, you know, if you feel like you're in kindergarten Christianity and need something new, a new challenge in your life, maybe this is it. And we'd certainly love to make that possible. So I don't want this to be like a, you know, we're not going to have you come up and make it a big ceremony. I'm not going to lay a guilt trip or anything else on you. But I want you to take this week and pray and just to say, God, is this something that you really want me a part of? And I hope that each and every one of you would say yes, because I know I need it. I do. I need my home group constantly. And I've missed not meeting with them the last couple of months. And I'm really looking forward to when we get started up in a couple of weeks, meeting on Thursday nights. And would love to see as many of you as possible be involved in this fall session of home groups. Maybe just to say mentally, I'm just going to try it till December. Okay? It's not like the video. It's not like you put your name on a piece of paper and you're signed up for life. All right? Okay? This is more like a class you're taking. You know, for a couple of months, I'm going to give it a try. And if it doesn't work, maybe try a different group or try something different, you know, whatever. But at least you're trying something. and hopefully God will honor. And I know, I believe that God will honor those steps of faith to say, I want to try something new. I want to start building some spiritual friendships because I not only need God, I need others. I need the members of his family that he's given to me. And that's really what it's all about. Okay, will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for Two Rivers Church. I thank you for a place where we can worship you on Sunday mornings and a place where we can hear your word proclaimed. But I also thank you for the wisdom that you've given to Rob to make home groups such a big part of what happens here at Two Rivers Church. For our youth, for our young adults, for all of us. Lord, that we have opportunities to come together, to have fellowship and share our lives, to have prayer with one another, and to deal with not only the joys, but also the pains that we experience in this earth. And then to study your word together and to challenge one another as we seek to make you more and more the one who is leading and guiding and directing, not just what takes place on Sundays, but 7 days a week. And that there can be a sense of application of what you have in store for us. Father, I pray for those that are even now just thinking, gosh, I don't know, is this, you know, what is this? Help us that have been part of home groups and are, you know, that have had a good experience with that. Let us be encouraging and let us be welcoming and let us make that pretty difficult experience of just kind of going to somebody's house in the middle of the week, make that as easy as possible. And I pray for the work of your spirit and making that possible too. So that as we come together next week, Lord, that we're inspired to really, God, to see 100% of us say that we want to be involved in those types of relationships. But for this week, Lord, we know that you have gone ahead of us, that you prepared the way, and that we will walk with you as we dedicate ourselves. And we ask that you would help and equip us to be the church this week. And we do so in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Continue to keep praying for Rob and Bonnie as Rob finishes up his vacation, for Bonnie and her situation. And pray for one another and the things that are going on. And if you get a chance to, during the break, maybe hear about what's going on with somebody's life, pray for them this week. All right. Either the good or the bad. And let's come back next week expecting to be able to share stories about that. All right. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday and go be the church.